Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and today I have some very exciting guests with me in honor of International Women's Day from More Than Equal. I have Dr. Fran Longstaff, More Than Equal's head of research, as well as three incredible drivers themselves. We have Yvonne from Austria, Katrina from Malaysia and Hong Kong, and Skye from the UK. So I just want to start by saying motorsport is such a unique and competitive world. So before we dive in, I would just love to hear from all of you. What excites you most about racing?
Yeah, so I would say what really excites me about racing is the fact that, you know, we're really like basically competing in like the highest levels of racing, because I came from Asia and my background. So being able to like come over to Europe and the UK to compete against the best racers around the world is incredible. And I guess also what really made me want to do racing also was for the adrenaline and speed. It's been something I've been like loving since I started at the age of 7. So I think that's what really excites me about racing.
I would also say the adrenaline and also the speed and just the feeling like, if you're driving, your head is free and it's like you're in your own world, and it's like you, words cannot describe how it's feeling when you're driving. And also from my background, my family's always been into racing. So I was just kind of from a little girl also into racing.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with Katrina. It's fun to go different places, learn new tracks, meet new people, learn new driving styles. And what excites me is the most about racing is the overtaking. I think it's the most fun part, personally.
Yeah, the feeling. That gives you some speed and some adrenaline. That's amazing. And Fran, how about you?
Well, I'm going to give the very nerdy response. The thing that excites me is all the research and data and using all of that to actually realize changes on the track. I think that's really interesting and powerful. So that's what a big part of my focus is, the bit behind the driver.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Can you share a bit more about More Than Equal's mission and sort of the role that research plays in that?
Yeah, sure. So More Than Equal's mission is pretty straightforward and bold. So it's our mission to find and develop the first female F1 world champion. More Than Equal's been going for about 3 years now. And our mission, it's a 10-year mission. You know, we want to deliver this and achieve this in 10 years. We started with a piece of research at More Than Equal. So in 2023, we published the Inside Track Report, which was probably the biggest study, well, is the biggest study into the experiences of female drivers, female fans. And we did that piece of research to basically understand the problem before, you know, the problem behind the problem. So before we put in place any strategies or initiatives or interventions, we really had to understand, well, what are the key barriers? So why haven't we seen a female driver at the highest levels in F1 for nearly 50 years? And we wanted to do that to build our confidence in our strategy. Mm. And then research just runs through everything that we do. So every decision that we take is always a data-driven decision, essentially.
Yeah.
And we kind of hold that really close to the way that we operate our driver development program as well.
I love that. And so speaking of some of the barriers for women in motorsport, what does the data tell us about what those are?
Yeah, so I mean, the Inside Track Report, there were a whole host of barriers, but you could probably boil them down to two. If you were to trace each barrier back down to a root cause, the first one is visibility. Mm. So there's a real visibility issue that is obviously changing and rapidly changing over the last 2 years, I would say. But it's really difficult to build the female driver population at grassroots if you haven't got any role models at the top, because why would you start that journey if you can't see it? You know, you've always got, you see it to believe it.
Yeah.
And I think linked to that visibility, there's just fundamentally a lack of knowledge about female drivers. So there's a lack of knowledge about their capability, their potential. And the problem with that lack of knowledge is people fill those gaps, don't they? So they'll fill those gaps with explanations, whether they're right or wrong. So I think, you know, historically, female drivers have battled a lot of unfounded stereotypes and attitudes about why they're not in motorsport. So, you'd hear things, for example, that they don't have the neck strength or don't have the levels of aggression. There's no evidence to support those. People have just filled those gaps themselves. And I think there's also a gap in knowledge about how to train and get the best out of female drivers. So, of course, their bodies work differently. We've got to train them differently.
Yeah.
So I would say visibility and knowledge are the big root causes of barriers if you trace them down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so for the drivers, Sky, Katrina, Yvonne, does that resonate with you? Do you feel like you've had to kind of counteract some of these stereotypes or prove yourselves in a way that may be different from your male peers?
I mean, I wouldn't actually say we have to prove ourselves different. I mean, in life, we, like women, always have to prove ourselves. And especially in racing, we have to work twice as hard and twice as much as the male competitors. Because I think Katrina and Sky will also agree with me. They don't take us serious and they don't really have the respect from us. So we have to prove and show them that we're both, like, we're equal on track, like, no matter who you are and if you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, I would say the same thing too, because I think obviously being in a male-dominated sport, it's very hard, but I guess it doesn't mean that girls or women overall can't do it. I guess it's just more about, like, working really hard to show on track and show the speed on track, which is very important. And I think that, you know, we, as girls, we're obviously all proving ourselves, obviously, to get, you know, to F1 one day, which is like a big dream. So I guess working hard and really like having that confidence as well is very important, especially in this sport.
Yeah, I agree with Yvonne. I wouldn't say we really have to prove ourselves. We just kind of like faced with these challenges. Like when I was little, when my dad used to take me around, they called it dads and lads. Obviously, I'm not a lad. And they come in and say, I was really quick one session, and they'd be like, you just got beaten by a girl. And the next session I get smashed off. So I feel like an extra challenge that we have is learning how to take a hit, you know? But yeah.
Absolutely. And get back up stronger every time. Well, it's amazing what you all are doing. So how did you first get into racing? Was there a moment that you realized you wanted to pursue this seriously in your life?
I started at the age of 7 years old. So that was when I kind of knew it was something I really wanted to do, because I kind of really just loved the adrenaline and speed. My parents actually weren't in like a motorsport background family, so we all didn't grow up in motorsport. So actually I brought up this with me and my older sister. So I've started this just with me and her. And that was when I started to pursue it. And then I kind of went on and did it. And I done my first race at the age of 9. And I've done several races across Asia. And I've been to Europe at the age of 11 for the first time. And then after that, I won 3 major Asian titles, which are one of the proudest moments for me. And then that's when I started to come over to Europe and the UK in 2024, you know, to make myself get more challenged and really take more risk and fight with the best drivers in the world, which I'm very grateful for. So, yeah.
So I feel like I have very similar to Katrina, because, first of all, my dad started me out with me and my older sister, because he initially bought a go-kart for my older sister, because he always wanted to do it when he was younger. She didn't like it, and I just found it in my nan's garage. And it was like flat tires, and he just put me out, and I managed to bend the axle first time. lovely. And then with a different... Yeah, and what I feel differently to Katrina is, like, obviously I love the adrenaline and stuff, but when I was 8, I got selected to be a Greek kid at Silverstone.
No way. Yeah,
it was really cool. And whilst I was there, me and a fellow competitor friend, we were asked to do Blue Peter, and we got, like, these magic passes, and we could go anywhere we wanted, and I feel like it was just a massive, like, eye-opener. It's like, oh, this is what my dad's been talking about. Like, this is really cool. Like, when you just see all these massive cars, and we managed to get snuck into the Red Bull garage, and I got a photo with Max Verstappen, and I just, most insane experience ever. Probably one of my best so far.
That's so cool. And so you were like, I want to be in the car.
Yeah.
When you saw all that, yeah. That's amazing. Yvonne, how about you?
I would say I've grown up in the sport. My dad was a karting driver and was driving Formula 3 Eastern Bulgaria. My grandma was a rally driver, and even my auntie was racing. So I think it's kind of in the family. And also when I was little, I was like in the, you know, like the trolley where you push the baby. Yeah, we're always on track with that. Like I was just growing up into it. And then I loved it, and I was really fast and won also several races at the age of 6 and 7. So yeah, it's just in my blood.
And the rest is history. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing those stories. Fran, I guess a question for you. Finding and nurturing talent is such a big part of More Than Equals' mission on the quest to find the first female F1 champion. What do you look for in young drivers, and how does the organization support them?
Yeah. It's a really interesting question. It's ever evolving. You know, as we learn more about the different data points, the ones that are more important, for example, in terms of spotting talent. So a lot of our research is about understanding what are the strongest predictors of a high performer later down the line. But when we were selecting the drivers, it was a really involved process with the coaching and performance team. So we did a scrape of race results, kind of breaking racing performance down into different factors and interrogating that. So looking at single fastest lap times, etc., qualifying positions, that kind of thing. We also did a global application. So we had loads of applicants come in, and then gradually we sort of narrowed it down. So as a team, there was, you know, we made the decision that we were going to be recruiting drivers that were in karting around the age of 13 and 14, because the belief was that we could have the biggest impact on those drivers in terms of preparation for the different stages. And also because the karting to F4 transition has traditionally been quite difficult for female drivers. You get a high level of dropout around karting. So we had our global scrape of race results. We had our application data. And then once we'd filtered down to a criteria of drivers based on race results, their context. So, you know, what were they currently doing? Where was the scope for improvement? We then did in-depth interviews. And I think they were really important, because what we wanted to understand as well was what's the motivation here? What's the resilience? Yeah. You know, that was going to be really important, because I think to be one of the first in anything, it's really hard, isn't it? You are treading ground that very few, or sometimes none have gone over, and that can be really challenging. So we had to really gauge that. What was the ambition? What's the motivation? And where's the resilience as well? So we were really looking at those race results overlaid with those factors as well.
Yeah. I love the motivation piece. I feel like that's not something we hear about as often. And I'm curious, from the driver's perspective, how do you think about that motivation piece, and how are you thinking about balancing driving and your goals in racing with all the other things that you have to think about as, you know, teenage girls to some degree, like school and friends and family and everything else? How do you think about balancing that motivation for racing?
I think in racing, you have to sacrifice a lot of things. For example, you're traveling a lot. So many people in my age won't understand this, and probably in the other ages too. And you just have to think of yourself and be like, is this really what you want? And if you want to do this, and if you want this, you have to really sacrifice yourself and say what's more important to you, if you want to do this as your career in several years. And yeah,
I would say the same thing too, because it's like ever since I had to move to Malaysia at a very young age just to do, you know, what I really love to do, I think it was hard because I had to leave my family back home, and it made me really realize, like, you know, this is something that's, you know, going to be very tough, because, you know, being with your family is like one of the greatest things. You know, you get to be at home and, you know, spend time with them, but, you know, having to travel around the world and yet, you know, having to balance certain things like school and stuff is hard. But I kind of had to start to accept it, because, you know, like being one of like you know, in racing, it's very, very high competitive sport. So having to learn how to also work hard and have that discipline whilst also balancing school as well is very difficult. But it then made me really stronger at the end, because I know that, you know, if this is really what you want to do, you kind of have to give it all up and just kind of go for it, I guess, is what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, balancing it is a bit of a challenge, because I feel like more often than not, every like young racing driver like us, the two main things in our lives are racing and school. So that's why literally like 75% of my grid is doing online schooling, like Minerva and Tahide are the two main ones. Mm. Yeah, so they get to manage it like that. For me, I'm an oddity, actually go to school. And how I dealt with it is I just befriended all the smart kids. So like I just caught all their notes and everything. So I just get all their notes. And like suddenly I'm doing really well in school. So that's how I balanced it.
Yeah, you find people to support you in all the ways that you can.
Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. To combat this, we've been loving Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, which contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens that help the body adapt to any stressors. With over 30,000 reviews and counting, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Speaking of support, how does it feel having other girls and women be a part of More Than Equal together? Does it feel like a family? I know you all don't get to see each other all the time in person, but you have training camps and things like that. Do you feel like you have made friends through More Than Equal or just at the racing circuits in general?
Yeah, it's actually really nice that we all get to be together, because it's very off. It's very like different because we all live all across the world. So it's very like, it's very different for us. You know, we're all from different backgrounds of the world. So getting to be, you know, together at least like a few times a year in all these different places for training camps, I would say it's very nice because, you know, we all kind of come from different backgrounds, and getting to build these friendships and being able to get together is very nice ever since we got announced. So yeah, I think it's nice to have that friendship, because ever since I've been in More Than Equal, we've all created many memories that I'll never forget. So getting to be part of this is like really special for me. So I would say like having all of us girls together is like we all get to bond in a way that I never got, because ever since I've done this, you know, I had to skip so much school, and then I would like kind of start to, you know, lose friends and lose certain things. So coming to this actually made me feel like also having lots of friendship with all the girls is something that's very precious to me. Yeah,
that's so cute. Yeah. I mean, I would also say this, we help each other a lot at the camps and also driving camps or simulator, and even at the physical training camp, we're all supporting each other and just making clear that we're one of the 6 that got chosen from the program, and we have to prove and motivate also other people watching us and other girls that want to start with racing.
Yeah, I think it's nice too, because you obviously all from different places, all like Yvonne Austria, Katrina Malaysia. I feel like it's funny because we're all from these different places, so far from each other, like Lana in Australia, and we all have like the same experiences. So it's like you find like the first person you can actually relate to is on the other side of the world, you know. And like with the memories, like last camp, it was Katrina's birthday, and we got her cake and everything. It was a massive thing. Yeah, it's just lovely memories, experiences, learning from one another. Yeah.
I love that. That's very sweet, because I feel like sacrifice can feel so lonely at times. So to have a community to be able to relate to with that is so huge. So I guess, Fran, for you, it sounds like More Than Equal and other organizations are doing a lot sort of on the ground level, for lack of a better term, at the kind of the grassroots level. But what do you think needs to change from the top, whether that be Formula One or other organizations' investments? What needs to change from top down to help the kind of bottom up process succeed?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think actually a lot of really positive things are happening. But I was thinking about this earlier, and I think something that has been really powerful is seeing women who have had professional careers in motorsport taking on senior roles and using their experiences to then influence the experiences of the next generation of drivers. So you're seeing that with Susie Wolf at F1 Academy, Ellen Law at AVL Race Tech. You know, they're a really key partner of ours. And she is such an advocate for female drivers and the education and support that she gives them. So I think for me, that's really key, like more senior women in those positions mm-hmm. where they can take all of those experiences and feed them back into the next generation and be really strong advocates for them.
Yeah, it makes such a difference. And I guess speaking of advocates and inspiration for the drivers, who's your biggest inspiration in motorsport right now? Can be male or female, doesn't matter.
I think for me it would be Lewis Hamilton. He has like been one of my biggest inspirations since I started like learning about F1 when I first started racing, because I've seen him won all of these world titles, and then that was when I was like, you know, I really want that for myself. I want to be able to be like him. And then that was when I really was like, he like really is an inspiration to me, because even him, he grew up in a background similar to me, so it kind of made me realize that like I can really work really hard, and even though things can get tough at times, I can make it. And just like him, he was able to do that. So at the end, I was just really like really telling myself that I really wanted to do it, and he has been really a big inspiration to me, a role model and everything. Yeah,
well, okay, I've got kind of three, but currently, same as Katrina, Lewis Hamilton, because I feel like he's kind of like us, because he's the first ever black racing driver, and possibly the most successful, you know, most well known, you know, 7 world championships. In my opinion, he's got 8. I know Yvonne will disagree with me on that one.
I will disagree with you.
But he's probably the most successful, the amount of records he's broken. Amazing. And then a female one, Maya Woog in F1 Academy. Yeah. I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go to the Yas Marina a few months ago to watch the last round. And whilst I was there, we watched the F1 Academy. And she was as cool as a cucumber. Because I remember this one race, she was just getting dive bombed every single lap. And it's like, you know, when you get dive bombed and then your head starts to go and you get a bit scrappy, you get a bit messy, you miss some apexes. No, it was amazing. Like, she didn't do anything. Like, she didn't even mess up. Like, she was just so calm and relaxed. And it was like, I was getting annoyed watching it. And she was hitting purple sectors. And then the past one's Niki Lauda. I think it's just amazing. With his crash, and well, the crash isn't amazing, but he was able to get in a car for 4 or 6 weeks later and still came second in the championship.
Yeah. That's incredible.
I will say Max Verstappen, because he's got the aggression and the ambition to win. And I think I'm kind of similar to him. And we also grew up in a similar background. He was on the racetrack almost every day, and like, every opportunity he got, he was on the racetrack, just like me. I would also say Ayrton Senna, because he went back away from home for racing, just like I did. And now I'm living with my aunt, and my parents are in Bulgaria and not seeing them a lot. And a female one, I would say Maria Teresa de Philips and Leila Lombardi, as they're like driven a Formula One car. So, yeah.
Yeah. Those are all such great ones. And maybe one final question for all of you, and doesn't matter who starts, but if you could give one piece of advice to a young girl listening who dreams of racing, what would you say?
And if you work hard, you can achieve everything, and just focus on what you do, and don't listen to what people say. Go your way and like love everyone supporting you, because every piece of support is really helpful through the journey, as racing is really hard sport.
Beautifully said.
Personally, any failure or success is always a learning opportunity. Whether you've qualified last, whether your fault or not, it's a learning opportunity, because now you get to learn how to overtake. You know, you get to learn how to deal with the unfortunate situations, and just get out of track as much as you possibly can. That's the most important thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say my piece of advice for young girls who want to pursue racing, I think, would be like to be able to trust the process, because, you know, coming from racing, it's going to be a long journey ahead, I would say. I've done this for so long, and I think that also having the confidence on track is very important, because once you show that you have confidence and you're able to, you know, thrive on and off the track, that just means that, you know, you're going to be a great racing driver no matter what. You know, nothing can keep you off the track, no one can stop you. So yeah, I would also say just trusting the process and confidence is very important, especially, you know, for girls who want to start racing.
Yeah. And Fran, how about you?
Yes, as the non-racing driver, I think I would echo probably a lot of what Sky said, actually, about just learning as much as you can, taking those opportunities, you know, asking people about, you know, asking the engineers what's happening here, looking at all the different data points, just trying to soak in as much knowledge as possible. I think it's quite interesting, motorsport, but, you know, I came into it without a motorsport background. There's actually very little research out there on what a good driver looks like, you know, from a physiological, psychological point of view, regardless of whether they're male, female. So a lot of it, you're going in not necessarily knowing what benchmarks you're trying to hit. So I think trying to learn as much as possible and ask as many questions to fill those gaps, I think, will make you more efficient in your decisions and what you need to do to make that next step up. So yeah, just every opportunity to learn, I think.
Can I add something to what Fran said? It's just motorsport. No, there's one that would like it. I mean, it's so unusual, do you not think? I mean, personally for me, I do 2 test days at a track, and then I'm suddenly racing at it. I mean, if you can, with like another sport like hockey or football, it's like the same kind of thing, just over and over, you perfect your skills. But the thing with most sport, you've got to learn different tracks. There's so much of it that's actually off track, like the physical stuff, like, which is why we've got Hinsa coaches. It's just, I don't think there's anything really like it.
Yeah, so true. And especially, I mean, at all different levels of motorsport, the engineering and the science and the data that goes behind the sport, there is no other sport like it. And so I think motorsport drivers are some of the smartest athletes in the world, because all of the things that you have to take in and synthesize in your mind at a split second is like nothing else. So
yeah, and then you've got to be able to deal with it after, when you've got the interviews in your face trying to get a bad response out of you. And it's like, just don't say the wrong thing.
I think I also agree with Sky, because actually, like, having to deal with all this pressure as well, like, especially like example, like if you had a bad race and then someone just shoves the mic in your face, you kind of have to learn like how to kind of make an answer in your head before like they ask you the question, because you're kind of already like mad about how your race went. But I think being able to like cool yourself down before the race is very important. So yeah.
I was also going to say that as a racing driver, you have to take responsibilities and different things in split seconds. For example, if there's a crash in front of you, you have to decide, are you going to do round inside, round the outside? What's the best for you? Because you have to get these decisions in like seconds off you, because everything is moving and you're concentrating on your driving and what's happening. And you just have, your mind has to be perfectly done. And also we're doing with the NeuroTracker, it's really good to learn how to keep our heads cold while driving.
Yeah. The margins are so razor thin. Well, I can't imagine a better conversation or more inspiring conversation for International Women's Day. Thank you all so much for joining, and so excited to continue watching you and following you along and cheering you, but so inspired by what you're doing. And thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.